Turn on the radio.
What are you looking for?
News.
It's 5 o'clock, and this is the news.
A little news.
According to Roger.
Moving I-5 traffic to this wonderful redevelopment, restoration, really, of the San Dieguito Lagoon. Actually, behind the fairgrounds, behind the racetrack, along that, and Del Mar people know where this is, there's this kind of marshy lagoon area. Well, that's all being restored as well. So all that earth moving out there is actually going to result in the restoration of a natural environment, as opposed to sometimes earth moving just looks like another shopping center coming in. That's not the case here, where all day we've been talking about San Dieguito Lagoon restoration effort. All right. Now, you want to talk to Jacqueline Wintar, who's a head of something called Friends of the Lagoon. Where is she? Oh, there you are. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine.
What is Friends of the Lagoon?
It's not Friends of the Lagoon. It's Friends of the San Dieguito River Valley.
Okay, so, well, then whoever wrote this down here wrote it wrong. Anyway, you tell me what the name of the group is.
Okay, the Friends of the San Dieguito River Valley is an advocacy group that has been established 21 years ago with the intent to support the establishment of a wildlife corridor from the ocean to the top of the mountain.
And you're well on your way, actually, to that achievement, although 21 years is a long time.
21 years.
You're well on your way, right?
We are.
What is the state of this thing? Because a lot of it burned, right?
Yes, about, I think, two-thirds of it, starting about with Rancho Santa Fe and going up to the top of the mountain. But fortunately, we escaped the fire in this area.
Yeah, that's right. But the easterly area, Vulcan Mountain by Julian, part of that burned, and then on down to...
And not only the landscape, but I think the headquarters of the park burned down, and the adobe house, so there is a tremendous amount of loss.
Boy, I guess so. I was reading about the historic buildings that also were burned.
Yes, the adobe house burned.
Hmm.
Yes.
Is that going to be restorable, do you think?
I'm sure that there is such a tremendous amount of public support for it that I'm sure they will restore it, rebuild it.
Now, what other projects are you working on to bring this whole park together?
As an advocacy group, we are not among the decision makers, but we lobby for the completion of the park. We work with people who have projects in the valley, trying to have them protect the values we are supporting, which is the establishment of this wildlife corridor. And we are also involved with some educational programs. And we have, for instance, created a bus tour around the lagoon. And we bring to the attention of the public some historical events that they are unaware of.
Like what historical events that we're not aware of?
Well, the most exciting one is the El Camino Real. We know that Gaston de Portola, in 1769, crossed the San Dieguito River Valley, and the cleric Juan Crespi, who accompanied the expedition, wrote about it. And so that is when the river valley entered in the history.
That's absolutely right. I have Portola's the book that has his diary.
Okay.
It's a reprint of his diary.
Yes,
that's
right.
Talked about that.
Yes, that's
very
right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, how long, if it took 21 years to get to this point, how long is it going to take to get this whole park done?
That's a good question. Oh, I think that the completion of the lagoon restoration will only take another 2 years.
But whole park?
The whole park. I think that the park is probably close to completion in terms of land acquisition, but the big projects that remains to be completed is the trail. At the present time, the trail is like a dashed line. Some segments are completed and some or them are not.
Is there going to be any overnight camping in this area, or is it just going to be a day hiking? Because it's going to take more than a day to hike from here to Vulcan Mountain.
It's 50 miles, so it'll take a few days.
Yeah, even Portola didn't go this fast. So how are we going to...
He was going 12 miles a day.
Yes. So how are we going? Are we going to camp along here?
Yeah.
Is there going to be camping along here?
At the present time, there aren't any, but I suppose that over time there will be some camping sites.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Jacqueline Wintar. We appreciate it. Now, you, sir, probably are Mike Jocelyn, right?
Yes, sir.
Good guess.
Good afternoon.
All right, Mike. Now, you are a biologist. What can you tell us about your role in this lagoon restoration?
Well, I might be the historian here because I've been on this project since 1991 when Edison was first looking at various kinds of restoration projects.
Wow. Are you the guy that talked him into doing this one?
Well, you know, at the time, they actually were looking at eight different sites, all the way from Ormond Beach down to the Tijuana Estuary. So it was not necessary that this was going to be selected at that time.
So did you talk him into it? Now, David's there listening to this conversation.
Well, you know, at that time, we were looking at all of these various sites. But the Del Mar site and the San Dieguito wetlands, because of the local interest and the JPA and the various people here who were very strong in support of it, that's what really brought it here.
No, that's great. So there was a local support group that made Edison feel like this would be a beneficial impact.
Exactly. And we had to go to the California Coastal Commission and to get them to approve that it would be here at Del Mar.
Yeah. All right. So then what did you do? What is your role in this thing?
Well, you know, my role was to try to develop a plan that would meet all of the requirements of the Coastal Commission mitigation, but also kind of fit within the landscape here at the San Dieguito River. So we actually, when this project started, had about 15 different concepts of what types of wetlands could be created here. And those were presented to the public, were presented to the agencies. We really had about a three-year process of working with the local populace as well as environmental groups to see what would be best.
So there was a debate about how this should turn out.
Oh, yeah. There was a strong debate. There was interest in creating more open water or creating areas that would just simply be vegetated marsh, some areas that might not have even been open to tidal action. So there's a lot of different varieties of habitats that we were looking at.
How satisfied are you with the final outcome on a scale of 1 to 100 in terms of meeting what you thought would be the goals of this project?
Well, from that perspective, this site, because of its constraints, because of the river hydrology and the flooding, there were a number of issues that we had to address. But overall, I'd say, you know, 90 out of 100,
yeah,
it's really met its criteria. We've really optimized it for this area.
No, that's great. Now, am I going to be able to fish in this thing or what? No fishing or?
Well, there's
somebody called and said, oh, wait a minute, you're going to ban fishing.
Hey, there's going to be tons of fish in here. They're going to be way too small to go fishing for.
Well, that's true.
So what the whole object of this restoration was to create a nursery so fish could come in here and then move offshore. That's where you're going to catch the big fish.
Now, actually, I was down bouncing around here with Mike Furby before the show started looking at this restoration project here in San Dieguito, and that's what we're talking about, folks, if you're just joining us. The area to around the fairgrounds and then east of the freeway, where there's a massive restoration project going on. So you've seen earth moving down there. It doesn't have anything to do with development. It's the development really of a, La Costa resort for the birds and the fish. It's a whole resort concept here for natural habitat. But I was, in looking at this thing, I was interested in what, what role the whole thing would play in actually restoring. I mean, you don't really know 150 years ago what was here, right?
Well, we do know from historic maps when Spaniards first came here, even when the U.S. took over California, they did a lot of coastal mapping.
Ah.
So we have some great maps of what the lagoons look like here.
So is this a restoration of that perimeter, or is it something else?
Well, as a river delta, there were quite a bit of freshwater marshes here on the upstream part, but this area down at the lower part was mostly tidal marsh.
Ah.
And we know that from maps. And
by the way, I saw a big fish today. I was out there driving around, like I said, and in the one of the big pools, fish were jumping.
Right. There's mullet.
Mullet.
That are rarely common in here.
All right. So it looked like it was a foot long.
Right.
Well worth throwing my rod in. No?
But, you know, we can go up to Carlsbad and look at Batiquitos Lagoon, which was restored in 97 for the tidal inlet. And they have shark, They have halibut.
Really?
They have very large fish that come in there. We suspect we'll get the same sort of thing here.
All right. But am I going to be able to fish it?
Well, it is an ecological reserve, so we're saving the fish here for the ocean.
Okay. That's Mike Joslin.
Roger Hedgecock on the radio.
AM 600, Coco.
Welcome back to our community forum. Restoring the San Diego Lagoon here near the fairgrounds. Between all these places, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But you've been impressed, I think, Glenn, by the number of mayors we've had.
Well, a lot of mayors, that's true. And I'm also impressed by the cooperation we see between developers, utility, and environmentalists. There was actually a Greenpeace woman and an environmentalist guy mating behind the Flower Hill Mall.
I see. Good.
It's coming around. I think things are happening.
I'm glad you noticed that.
And also the nice people from the environmentalists. You know, all these talk about the birds. Several of them have given me the bird today, just a few minutes ago. Actually, another one. Look at that. Another one's doing it right now. Hey, I love this place. It's a beautiful thing. It's a love fest here between everybody. When you widen I-5 and wetlands go bye-bye, that's a problem. Everybody, a problem. So we must recreate a new habitat place, because we love them. We love the birds. Make a bigger marsh. Don't be cold or harsh. Don't you shout or bark. Be a swamp-friendly marshmallow fellow. I'm a let's smoke pickleweed and cordgrass kind of fellow. You ever smoke pickleweed?
No.
It gets you high, but you're really bitter.
Thank you.
When you put a freeway where the whitetail kite plays, it's a no-no. A no-no. And it's hard to explain an HOV lane to a dodo. Yes, make a bigger marsh, make a family park, have a bigger heart. We can do it together. Build new bird housing tracks, new fish schools with no taxes. Something's going on here. No taxes?
I don't think so.
Huh, the stars at night. No, it's Texas. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Erath, I appreciate it.
I think it's always better to end a song without an ending.
You perfected that skill on our show, I believe.
I really have. Everything's a work in progress, Roger. It's like my love life.
Let's not get into that again. Nestle's. I know that's his new nickname, Nestle's, as in quick. Anyway, back to Tim Fennell is with us. Tim is the general manager of the other government agency here, which is the state's 22nd Agricultural District. Tim, welcome. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Roger.
I usually see you when I'm having my annual corn dog down at the fair, when you're having the fairgrounds and the race meet and all that.
I was thinking about bringing one over for you.
No, one is enough per year. Anyway, so Tim, this project, Restoring the Lagoon, your project, your land is right in the middle of this lagoon. It was, in fact, reclaimed from the lagoon. This project then impacts you guys in what way?
Well, you know, we're north of the lagoon. We're right. We border it. I think it impacts us in a positive way. We also not only own the fairgrounds, but a lot of people don't realize that we own Dog Beach as well. We see this as a positive. We see that the restoration of the lagoon and we got a little train going by.
Yep. And this one has people on it.
Keeping the lagoon open and keeping that water fresh is going to mean it's a positive to us in terms of mosquitoes and you know, keeping it clean, the smell, all those kind of things are definitely a positive. To the fairgrounds.
Now, you also own, do you own the polo fields or at
we
least?
We don't own the polo fields, but we own and operate Horse Park facility, which is across the street from the polo fields.
Yeah, to the west of that.
That is correct.
So that's state land there, too.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, in terms of all the development here, is that raising any problems for you? I mean, they're moving a lot of dirt all adjacent to land that you guys have.
No, not really. Not at all, actually. No problems at all that I've noticed or seen.
All right. And you have somebody with you as actually
I do. I have Becky Bartling. Becky's our COO, and she works very closely with all the environmental groups, and she spearheads this effort. You know, with San Diego,
San Diego.
San Diego, and this whole project.
All right. So Becky, let's talk to you.
Becky Bartling.
Becky.
All righty.
Hi.
Hi.
So now, when the fair is going and the race meet and all that, everybody's parking out on the dirt out there. Is that part of the lagoon, or are you guys coming into conflict there?
That's not part of the lagoon. And we do have hopes in the future that South Dirt Lot, with the our master plan, that ultimately we would be able to revert that to wetlands. And actually, we're working right now with the Coastal Commission on a restoration project in that south lot. It'll be a small portion, But the plan that we will submit to the Coastal Commission is for the full restoration of that entire lot, although that will be several years from now. But that's our ultimate goal through different development and relocation of parking to allow that to revert back to wetlands.
Well, that would be good news then. So you, how many acres would that be then?
Gosh, I think it's probably about 13, 14 acres.
So that's a big chunk right there.
Yeah.
And it's adjacent to where they are moving earth and creating the lagoon.
Yes, correct.
So, well, that would be great. Now, is that going to impinge on parking? Is that going to give us a problem in terms of...
No, well, that's our challenge is to accommodate parking in other areas. So in our master plan, we're working on projects to allow that to happen so that we can let the south lot revert to wetlands at the same time, still be able to accommodate cars.
All right. Now let's take a call here. El Presidente de lo Municipal is calling us from the City Council. Scott Peters. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Roger. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We're up here celebrating the apparent success of the San Dieguito Lagoon restoration effort, and you have a comment. This is actually bordering on your district.
Yeah, it's right. It's most of it's in my district, and I just want to say I appreciate your call and attention to this project. It's a really terrific collaboration from a lot of people, and I, like you, got the chance to take the truck ride around with Mike Furby, and it's amazing how much effort goes into what doesn't look very complicated, but there's really a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it is very complicated. At the end of the day, however, hundreds and hundreds of acres will be restored to a natural state we haven't seen around here in more than 100 years.
No, I think that's something that everyone can be proud of.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, thanks for calling. We've got to run to a break right now, and I appreciate Tim Fennell, and thank you very much for coming down and explaining this thing. All good neighbors. This is all governments working together. I don't know. Glenn is right. This is very unusual. This is actually good news, Jimmy. I don't know whether this makes good radio or not. I don't know. 1-800-600-KOGO, 569-TALK, 569-8255. Back after this. And welcome back to the Brigantine Restaurant. We're here talking about the San Dieguito Lagoon restoration. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. How's the food out there in the... pretty good, huh? Gotta love the Brigantine. I'm going to stay here for dinner. My wife came by and she said, let's go to dinner right here. I don't have to move. Just stay right here. Tomorrow, Jimmy, we have Hercules the Horse, the Mottola Family Stories, and Mick Pattinson saying whatever the real estate bubble is, still keep charging a lot for homes. All right, so we'll get to all of that tomorrow. Jimmy goes, well, that wasn't exactly it. All right. Now, I just did this Roger report to the shock and dismay of everyone here live, which will be airing tomorrow around the country on our affiliate stations on the Saturday national program. But it had to do with a man in India. And it makes, you know, it's tough to do parodies. Glenn Erath will tell you this. You'll do a parody. You'll make fun of somebody. You'll mock them mercilessly. Then it turns out that reality is, it catches up to it.
Well, basically, people are always imitating art. You know, you create something, and then they do it. They fulfill it.
This may be a warning to us not to create too much wacky art.
Well, it could be.
Because people get wacky.
Well, they do.
In this debate, right? The gay marriage debate.
Right, which I happen to be.
Yeah, I know. I know. I did this for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so and you're... There's
Whoa.
Another glass.
Excuse me.
There must be a lot of Greeks in the audience.
No, it was. They're,
right.
they're having a bris over in the corner.
That's
over
right.
There.
There's a bris going on.
Yeah, it's a bris.
It's actually a wedding.
On.
It's
yeah.
a.
These guys work. Guys working for tips. But I'm shush.
So, anyway, on the gay marriage debate, I did this parody years ago where I was talking about if you open up the idea of marriage, you know, one man and
right.
one woman, to other relationships, you
sure.
know, there's an argument to do that. But if you do that, then, of course, you open it up to all kinds of different relationships. And so I proposed that, you know, if I was really going to be consistent with trying to
right.
marry the most faithful and loving and, you know,
sure.
being around me, I'd marry my dog.
Yeah, but
okay,
the thing is, if your dog's not gay, it won't
well,
work.
Well, it won't work then, right?
No, go ahead. So did you marry your dog?
No. But, you know, I did this parody. So now there's this guy in India. This is on the news today. Selva Kumar has married his dog. And the reason he married his dog, though, was even weirder. Because it has nothing to do with my little thing about gay marriage. It has to do with the fact that when he was 18, this is how they describe it here at Fox News. He stoned and clubbed to death two dogs he found engaged in mating and hung their carcasses from a tree.
That's a romance. That's foreplay.
I think that's foreplay to something. I'll tell you what. Anyway, so then the problem was that after he did this horrible thing, he suffered. He's now 33 years old. He yeah. said he suffered every day. He said, my legs and hands got paralyzed. I lost hearing in one ear. He felt he was cursed.
Yes, he was cursed.
He was cursed. There's no question about it. So he thought... sought the advice of an astrologer to try to lift the curse.
Right.
And it turned out that marrying his 14-year-old dog was the answer. So he and his bride sat together in the traditional Hindu marriage vows.
Right.
And he declared, I will take care of this dog until its death. And then the dog barked and the couple were married. That's it.
I wonder if he has any breath mints.
I hope so, because this is going to be tough. It's going to be a tough wedding night.
Never hang your dog from a tree, or you might end up married to thee. To that four-legged creature named Fido. And when Thanksgiving comes around, you're going to have to hide, oh. You're going to have to hide those funny little things around the house. Like that dog negligee, don't make a dog your spouse.
All right, that's enough. Glenn Erath. Yikes. Anyway, Phil Tallheimer here. We'll get to him in a minute. Assemblyman George Plesha on the phone line. George, how are you?
I'm doing well, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're down here kind of celebrating, actually. We're here at Brigantine Restaurant in Del Mar, celebrating the San Dieguito Lagoon restoration effort, an effort that I want to point out the theme of today is that while we often talk about the degradation of the natural environment by human beings, the truth is human beings can also turn around and enhance the natural and restore the natural environment. In fact, make it better than it's been for a long, long time. And I think that's what's going on here. Do you know about this?
Yeah, I do, Roger. I've been working on it for a while now, and like your previous segment, it probably isn't sexy radio when you have Republicans and Democrats and government and private sector and developers and environmentalists working together. But once in a while, it does happen for the good of the community.
And I think it needs to be pointed out. That's exactly what is happening here. And I know you've been involved in it a long time. In fact, a long time is what most people have done to try to make this happen. Years and years and years. I talked to some people here, 15 years on the project. And a couple of years of construction, a couple more to go before this thing actually achieves what it should achieve. But in the end, however long it's going to take and however much money is being spent, it will be a remarkable asset in our county, a remarkable example of what can be done to enhance the environment.
Absolutely, Roger. And it's something we need to encourage for everyone to get involved in and continue to do stuff like this. And me coming from a Republican point of view, I mean, I think we've given up on the environmental issue, and I think wrongfully so. Even Newt Gingrich says we shouldn't have given up on the environment issue, and we need to get more people involved. And, you know, Roger, some Republicans even drive hybrids, I heard.
Well, my wife does. She drove up here in the hybrid, our family hybrid. I have my solar energy plant on my roof. I mean, yeah, if I'm going to debate these environmentalists, I got to be willing, you know, to do my part. So that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, this is an exciting time for the San Diego community. I mean, we know what a great community it is. But, you know, we need to keep moving forward and make things better for everyone.
That's exactly right. Well, I'm hoping, by the way, is this desal plant going to pass at the Coastal Commission? Because they've also got mitigation stuff they're going to do that will help the Agua Hedionda Lagoon. In its restoration, are we going to make this?
You know, I don't know, Roger. I know they have a hearing coming up with the Coastal Commission. I certainly hope so. I've been up there, even though it's not my district, but it's important to the whole county. I've toured the facility and see what type of environmental mitigation they're going to do, and I believe in the project. And we also need some water supply, believe it or not.
Yeah, we do.
You know, the Coastal Commission's a tough bunch, no doubt about it. So I think they have a tough road to hoe, but they are doing everything they can to try and get this project approved. And, you know, I'm crossing my fingers and helping them all along the way is whatever I can do.
That's another one, by the way, where George Plesha is our guest, Assemblyman Plesha. This is another a project where I just looked at the list of endorsers, and you've got the Democrats and the Republicans, and again, you know, business and a lot of the environmentalists, not all of them, many of them are opposed to this particular method of desalinization, but I just think that with the kind of community support behind this and with the drought we're facing, and here's an email I got, by the way, which is another argument I have not heard. I got this email today from John W. He says, and from Encinitas, he says, thanks for polling on the desal plant. How can the Coastal Commission not approve it? If we ever have an earthquake that damages the water supply infrastructure, the ones that denied this permit will want to leave the state quickly. And it brings to mind, George Plesha, that I flew over the Colorado River aqueduct. It comes from the Colorado River into California, and it crosses the San Andreas Fault. And you can see the fault line in the mountain, and you can see this, river, man-made canal coming across the fault line. Well, if that thing moves, and in the San Francisco earthquake, by the way, it moved 26 feet. If it moves, 5 feet, all that water is going to be spilling out into the desert. We're not going to see a drop of it and causing a huge problem. Why not have a desal plant, if nothing else, as backup emergency water?
Heartily support the project and agree. In fact, I think we should build, you know, much more storage, all the storage we can down in Southern California, because something is going to happen, and it's going to shut off our water supply for a while. And it's absolutely ridiculous why we're not capturing all this rainfall and letting it run out to the ocean. I mean, there's ways to do it where we're protecting all the habitat, protecting the Bay Delta, which is very important. But yet we're creating a reliable water supply for everyone in California. When the disaster does hit, you're going to have the supplies near you where you can get to it.
Let's hope the Coastal Commission sees it the same way, George. George Flesher with us. Thanks for calling, George. I appreciate it.
Thanks for everything.
And again, it's a good point. Republicans, Democrats, environmentalists, developers, builders, there's Marathon Construction. They do a lot of big projects. They're all working together to make this lagoon project happen. Phil Tallheimer's with us. Phil, of course, is running for that first district seat in the San Diego City Council. Businessman and leader in this area, too. Hi, Phil.
Hello, Roger.
How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me.
What about this San Diego Lagoon restoration?
It's gorgeous. I've watched this come up. I've lived around this area for about 15 years, and this has been a wonderful change. I've actually bringing my kids up here.
You know, you're going to, you know, I think you'll be elected, and I think when you're elected, you're going to be on the San Diego City Council about the time this thing is finished. You'll probably come up here and snip the ribbon.
That'd be cool.
Take full credit, you know.
I would never do that. I'll give you full credit.
No, I have nothing to do with it. Furby and these guys, they have everything to do with it.
Well, they're supporting me, too.
So. Now, there you go. Now, talk about the campaign a little bit. How you doing?
The campaign's going great. As people know, I ran in 04, and we're out walking again, and people are coming up to me, and they say, you know, Phil, I voted for you, and I'm really glad I did. Or they're saying, oh, you know, Phil, I didn't vote for you, and I'm really sorry I didn't.
So you're fine picking up some of those folks you didn't get the last time.
Picking up lots of them we didn't pick up the last time. And more than that, we're picking up a lot of people who realized they didn't know me the first time. They didn't believe that my attitude is about service. And after Soledad and Jessica's Law, people are really coming behind me. We're doing very, very well.
Phil Tallheimer, who came, you know, to us, Jimmy and I and everybody were trying to put together this, what are we going to do about Soledad, because the cross was about to be torn down. There was a federal judge saying you got, you know, a certain number of days,
yep,
and you got to tear that cross down because that's what the Constitution requires. And we knew that wasn't right, and we knew we could get back to the public, and we knew we could mobilize a solution to this problem, which in fact happened, but it happened because Phil Tallheimer and Mike Shelby and a whole bunch of other people stepped forward with money and time and commitment, all busy people, all with their own businesses, and made it happen.
You know, sometimes you just have to say no, and for me, that was the spot. We're very proud of the results, and for your listeners out there, we've won this thing. It's extremely confident when it gets to the Supreme Court that it will be over, and what people should also know, it's been used as precedent in other cases now. We've exactly what the ACLU didn't want to happen is happening now. This case was seminal, and there people are using it around the country, and it's protecting other symbols of faith, and they should be very, very proud.
That's a very, very interesting thought, because we thought so much about the impact, obviously, here. But you're right, in the legal system, once there's a precedent like this, it's used in other places, saying, well, in San Diego they preserved the cross, what about us, and so forth and so on. And that just makes all kinds of sense. Well, you've got the credentials, Phil, out there. You've got the community service, and you have an established record before you wanted to be in public office of serving the public, and I think it's just going to go a long way for you. When is the election?
We're going to win this in June, and that's what it's
about.
But
if you don't, it's November. I mean, you've got a year. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And listen, for me, since between my own election and the other two running, from my wife's point of view, we've been running for 6 years now, and we're just going to keep doing it.
Well, that's right. Oh, my gosh. And there's nobody like me that knows what that sacrifice entails in terms of family time and all the rest of it. But
my wife has been fantastic, and my daughters are great. And, you know, and I'm going to bring my seven-year-old walking with me, and we're going to do it.
Phil Tallheimer with us. Phil, thanks so much for dropping by.
The Roger Hedgecock Show.
AM 600, Coco.
Welcome back to our community forum. We are live at the Brigantine in Del Mar, and we're talking about the San Diego Lagoon restoration. On the phone with us, Congressman Duncan Hunter. Hi, Congressman. How are you?
Hey, Roger. Doing good. I just got back to D.C. to my day job, and it's 9 o'clock out here. We're getting a little work done.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I know you burn the midnight oil all the time because you are doing two jobs, running for president and being the, you know, the ranking member on the Armed Services Committee.
Listen, it's all a privilege.
It actually is, and we're privileged to have you there. Duncan Hunter with us. Now, Duncan, you know my question. I ask you this question every couple of weeks to see if I can get some, you know, some progress. What's happening to Smuggler's Gulch and the completion of the border fence?
As I came in, Roger, and I got the call in, I called because I just got here. I called our Larissa Bounds, who works that issue for me. We just got a letter from the administration on Smuggler's Gulch. And I'll be able to pull that baby out tomorrow. And we've also got a 10 o'clock report from the Department of Homeland Security. So I don't have they've been dragging their feet. They pulled away from actually putting that fence across. They were going to try to put across a bunch of sensors, and that would not work. They finally went back to the original plan, but they haven't turned a shovel full of dirt yet. So we'll find out tomorrow what this what their latest communication says.
So we'll get an update. Well, keep pressing, Duncan. Without you, I don't think we'd have that fence there in 100 years.
These guys have a case of the slows, Roger. This was a chance to really, really knock one out of the park. They've got $800 million sitting there cash on hand right now.
Keep up the good work, my friend. I appreciate you being with us. Duncan Hunter.
We'll get after him.
All right. Now, Mike Furby, here we go. That 3 hours went quick. Marathon Construction, Mike Furby, and he and his team are building this San Dieguito Lagoon restoration. We appreciate your being out here and telling us a good story. And like I say, I'm not sure, Jimmy, we were talking about this. I'm not sure this is a great radio that everybody's working together and there's no confrontation and good things are happening and we're enhancing the environment. Hell, that's boring.
I want Jimmy to learn how to love coastal lagoons.
Yeah, that's right. See, now Jimmy's from Dehesa, and he was the one who said, I went out to smoke and there were semi-naked people hauling lumber down the street. I said, no, the surfboards are not lumber. But, you come from Dehesa, you don't see this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Mike, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Roger. Thanks for showing up here. And real quickly, I'd like to have my family come up here and thank you guys for Jimmy and Roger for taking care of us and showing us.
Well, there's Julie, and I see the kids. And what, the kids are over there? And there's Jim. Go ahead, Julie. Hi.
Well, thank you for broadcasting live, and I think this has been very educational and for the future, for our children to understand what we're preserving, and for all the people that drive by and wonder what's happening.
That's exactly right. That's what we did it for, because I got these emails saying, are you putting in shopping centers or whatever? Hi, what's your name again?
Hi, Camille.
Camille?
Yeah.
You know, you look like your grandma, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So, Camille, what'd you think? Did you learn something here?
Yeah, I learned a lot about the wetlands, and I learned what's going to be and what the new birds and what the new sites, and I think it's going to be an interesting job, and I think it's going to be really cool when it's finished.
You're going to take over this construction company when you're older, aren't you?
Hopefully.
I can just tell. I can just tell this is where this is going right now. And let's talk to this young man over here. Hi, what's your name?
Blake.
Blake, how are you?
Good.
Now, what did you learn today? Did you learn anything?
I learned about the wetlands and the construction site.
Yeah. You're going to take over this construction company too, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, your dad's going to be ready to retire in about 5 years, so grow up quick, you know what I'm saying. I wish, he says. That's exactly right. Well, thanks again. You guys have been great. It's a great family business. It's a great thing to see everybody out here, and I appreciate everybody who came. Glenn Erath closing out the show with a little custom. Maybe not. Oh, keep going. All right. Closing out the show, Glenn Erath.
That was just a little gas. Excuse me.
Yes. That was you?
It was. This is so touching to have everybody working together. Oh, there it goes again. There comes a time when a utility company and a developer will do something good. Southern Cal Edison and Marathon Construction, you've done what Ezekiel prophesied you would. It's the end of the world. It's now upon us. Dick Cheney's now a gangster rapper. OJ's being honest. No tax dollars spent on this project, I believe. The Middle East is now at peace and Muppets breathe. End of the world is finally here. Catholics are popeless and the Mormon Church is serving beer. There's no clearer sign. The end is near at hand. I saw a developer placing birdies in the sand. End of the world. Everybody, apocalypse. The press releases I expect are really quite cryptic. Whatever. There must be something more than the naked eye can see underneath the sand. I'll bet there's a mall and a KFC. Yeah, okay.
Glenn Erath, thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.